Hello again. This is Christoph Feisinger, Technical Product Manager. And today I'm going to be demoing something we've just released recently, which is the integration between Team Foundation Server and Project Server. Basically, this video is a number three video of a series of four. And basically what I'm going to be doing is showcasing the integration between, again, Team Foundation Server and Project Server integration feature pack. And specifically, in April 2011, just recently, we shipped the demonstration virtual machine. And I'm just going to step through the script. So basically, if you see this video and you like what you see, then the call to action is download this virtual machine. Brian Keller blogged about it. There's been several blogs. So you can actually step through this exact same scenario and start seeing some of the values and some of the capabilities of that TFS and Project Server integration feature pack. Again, it's a series of four videos, so I highly encourage that you watch all four videos showcasing that integration. So let's get started. This is video number three, and in this scenario, whereas in video one and two, we kind of started a project from the project management office, from the PM side, project manager. In this case, we're going to say, and the first two videos, by the way, we're using the CMMI template from TFS. In this scenario, the dev team is going to be, the development team is going to be in driver's seats. I'm using the out-of-the-box agile template. So I'm doing my estimate, my breakdown, my sprint, my iteration directly with my tool of choice. You'll see later on I'm going to be using a little bit of Excel within TFS, but yet I want to give visibility to someone, let's say in the project management office, so that in turn maybe they want to build a nice executive dashboards or reports on how all those development projects or application projects are doing within their organizations. So let's start with Peter. There's really two roles. Peter is the dev lead, and then we've got Lena from the project management office. So Peter here, I've got my familiar interface, Visual Studio Ultimate 2010. And here you can see I've got a series of team projects. And Tailspin Toys, again, is using the out-of-the-box Agile template. So you can see I've got a set of work items and different iterations, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're going to do is fire up Excel. And scroll a little bit. And we go to fire up the iteration backlog spreadsheet. And Excel is loading. And basically, we're going to look at the same information. You know, I could have done the updates within Visual Studio. In this case, I'll show you, obviously, some of the very ease of use and richness that come with the iteration backlog template. While Excel is firing, typically, again, one of the key reasons, I think, of one of the three reasons why this is a powerful interface is you'll see that the development team leaves on breeze in the tool of choice, you know, Visual Studio, the iteration backlog tied to TFS. And then you'll see that the project manager, that other side of the fence, project management office, the team using project web app, same thing, they're using their tool of choice. Each team doesn't have to switch to another tool, yet you're going to see that the data is being transferred back and forth between the two systems. So at the end of the day, I stay where I'm comfortable, but yet on each side of the fence, I get very accurate data showing me progress on those different applications that I'm working in my organization. So we fired the iteration backlog spreadsheet. Looks like it's still loading. And while this is loading, you can see that I've got different tabs. Let's wait a little more. So I've talked about one key benefit is I can use the tool of choice without requiring to go to another tool. But also the hint here is I can use on either side of the fence whatever methodology I need. So in this case, I'm using Agile on the development world, like I've been using Scrum, or as I say in videos one and two, we enable the CMMI template. But on the development team, I could be using Waterfall, I could be using something else, another methodology. The the second key value of this interface, if we're saying same thing. Not only you don't need to switch tool, but you don't need to change, pardon me, your processes or your methodology that you've already implemented. And you can still collaborate. So let's click on Edit Workbook. And you can see here, you know, in this standard iteration backlog, you know, I get some capacity. You know, I've set up the you know, what is the start end date for that iteration one. You know, I can set up absence or interruptions. You know, here it looks like David Simpson is going to be oof for 2 days out of the office for some holidays, capacity. Burn down is not going to be terribly exciting because I don't have a lot of data, so I'm not even going to show this. But let's go to iteration backlog. So again, you know, the goal is not really to show you how to break down. There's plenty of content on assets to do to illustrate this. So here we've got already has some data pre-populated, and you can see here, you know, I've got this user stories, I've got a set of tasks, etc., and I've got a set of assignments, and I've also done an estimate. What each task, what's the effort, etc., etc. So the scenario again is we want to provide visibility to the project management office, to that team that's, let's say, is in charge of tracking all the projects within my organization, not just the development projects. So to do that, basically we go to the team ribbon tab in Excel that comes as an add-in when you have Excel installed alongside your Visual Studio machine. And basically we need to add another column to enable that sync to our project server. And you know, just type P here in the drop-down list, and you can see there's a bunch of project server fields that are here. But basically, there's only one you need to do to enable that trigger. I'm just going to say project server submit. It's a required field. I'm going to put it in the spreadsheet. And basically, the beauty here is the project management office doesn't need to see all the details. They don't need to see all the tasks. What they're interested in is just, you know, how am I doing on each user story? So the point is, we can control what granularity we collaborate at. So in this case, again, we're just going to sync the user stories. So I'm going to say yes to the either customer can log in, a customer can add. So I just do Control C, do yes here, and yes here. So again, the only thing we're syncing are three user stories, each one of a set of resources and estimates. So let's go to trigger that. Or again, think of Excel on my desktop. I need to talk to the data center wherever TFS is. So I'm going to hit publish to replicate that change from my desktop to TFS. Let's do this. And let's just save. And typically, you know, how do I know that I get sync? Well, how about if we go in TFS on query, open a work item. And you'll see there's a new tab here called Project Server. Looks like it's not refreshed yet. Let's wait. But again, I would expect this. Here we go. Now it's set to yes. And it tells me what project plan it's associated to. And the date. So if I go back to the details, I would now see also information that something happened, like the data got synced to Project Server. So I've enabled that kind of handshake, that contract between my dev team and the PMO. So that, let's switch role and let's logging at as Lena, who's the project manager, and let's see what her view of the world is when she opens Microsoft Project. So here we're just going to log in as Lena. And Lena is going to fire up Microsoft Project, already had it up. And in this case, we're going to open Telfin Stories. And trust me, I didn't show you initially, but those three tasks were in my plan. I can see the estimate. Again, remember that we're only syncing at the feature level. We didn't want Lena, or Lena that wasn't interested in getting all the details. In this case, we only have a couple, but think if it was hundreds or thousands of tasks. The only thing Lena cares about is those three different user stories and how they fit in our plan. Now, Lena is going to do a couple things here as a project manager. First of all, she's going to add a column to control how the schedule is impacted by those updates that are coming in from the Agile team. In Microsoft Project 2010, we've got a new capabilities called manually scheduled tasks. And what this column does is enables either the old way of scheduling, meaning each task needs a start date, end date, and a duration, which is what we call automatic, which is probably what you've experienced for many years. In 2010, when you set it to manual schedule, then pretty much it bypasses the scheduling engine, meaning if I've got child of iteration one that switch or slip, that iteration time frame is never going to switch, is never going to change. So it's a great way to, you know, either model the scenarios where you might be maybe following different methodologies within your team. So let's just save this and let's publish this update. Again, the reason we're hitting publish is pretty much like the Excel analogy to sync data back to TFS. Here, Microsoft Project is then connected to Project Server, so you need to push the data to the data center where Project Center is to replicate the update then to TFS. So what has happened is I pushed some changes, it went to Project Server pushed it to TFS, and I might have updates. And if you watch video one and two, you'll see that in Project Server you can control how updates, how status come in your plan. And what we've done with this particular scenario is we've set up what we call automatic approval rule. Again, we're not saying you should do so, but you can easily do that in Project Server. And we're thinking that in this particular scenario, where an Agile team is in the driver's seat, really the thing the PM only wants is the latest and greatest update. You know, I'm not really in control of the schedule, so there's no need to reapprove every update. And that's why we've gone in the UI, you go to Approval Center, and you create a new rule. And in this case, we've created a rule called Tailspin Toys Auto Approval. And there's a lot of parameters you can set and trigger, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to walk through it. This is standard Project Server functionality. But basically, again, every time someone's going to make an update in TFS, it's going to come straight through for this specific plan. So you can set up different rules by department, by RBS, by project types. So let's see if something came from for this plan. And it's telling me this. So I've got to basically, to get the latest and greatest, need to close the plan and reopen. And we'll just wait while this is complete. So I got some updated data. Typically, as a project manager, maybe I want to, you know, change the way things look or the way things are ordered in my schedule. So again, those three stories should go on iteration one, and maybe I do a little indent here so I know it's a child or their children of that iteration. I can see the estimates here and who's working on it. You know, obviously I can visualize that. You know, I click on iteration one on this call to task, and I can see the different the Gantt and how does it look like. Maybe as a project manager, I want to do a little baseline, you know, even though, again, the dev team are using their usual sprints and they're in control, I might still want to do a baseline so I can compare changes over time in that specific plan. So set up a baseline, massage the data, reorder it, and that's about it. We're just going to publish again. And we're going to close this plan. So again, an estimate was done in a development team, you know, on a specific development project. That dev team provided visibility of the user stories at a higher level, not the full granularity. PMO, the project manager, got the updates, massaged the data a little bit, reorder it, the task, set up to manual schedule, set a baseline. And let's forward ourselves in time. And now let's see how we can, as the Agile team starts to execute, how updates are also coming across back to the project manager. And let's log back in as our dev lead. So let's go back to, obviously I could, you know, either go in Excel, we'll do that in this scenario. And nothing has changed here. Again, we haven't changed any data. I mean, we've changed the hierarchy in Project Server, but none of the estimates have changed. So what we're going to do here is pretend that, again, we've executed on a couple of those. And so we're going to switch remaining work to completed work. You know, we've done with all those tasks. So let's say we've done 2 user stories, and we know we just zero out all the remaining work, and we'll do the same thing here. Okay, so basically we're simulating, you know, execution of those different tasks. Let's publish. Let's save. Again, the sync between TFS and Project Server takes about 30 seconds, so let's maybe check some of those so a user can log into the shopping site. You know, maybe let's go refresh this query. Here we go. You can see that the completed, has changed. And, you know, this particular work item task is not tied to directly to Project Server because, again, we didn't want to, the handshake is the user story. So let's go at the user story and see if we get an update. So we can see now that the updates are coming across. You can see remaining work went to zero, and I've got some completed work. So that means the data get pushed to Project Server. So let's switch back again to the Lena, the project manager, and see what she sees in our project plan. Let's say, let's pretend the next day when she comes to work. So let's switch user. And let's log back in as Lena. And again, you know, approval or all the updates, because I've set up an auto approval, are coming straight across. So unlike video 1 and 2, where I had to go to the approval center and approve each update, here it's coming straight across. So let's open Tailspin Stories again. And let's look at the, you know, did we get the updates? And the first thing is I can cheat a little bit. I can see the black strike here on the Gantt, and it tells me that this is definitely actual work. Or you can see it here. I've got 40 hours. You know, I didn't show you the breakdown in the spreadsheet, but I've got 40 hours of actual work and remaining work. So it looks like we've done 2 out of 3. And it looks like here a little indication. So I also see it's complete here. It looks like I might have some allocation issues. So I can just do here, go to the team planner. I can see David Simpson and Jill Frank are busy persons. And maybe even, you know, there's different ways to address this, or maybe I should check to my dev team, you know, how are you working at those over allocation? Maybe it makes sense. Another way to look at this is to go to Project Server. If I want to look at allocation across all my resources, so again, I can look at my project plan here. Let me just do one more thing, sorry. Publish. Okay. So in this case, we're going to look at resource capacity over time. And in this case, let's pick David Simpson and Jill Frank. And hopefully this time you'll see some capacity. Looks like the data I need to pick is 7-1, which was, you know, remember what the iteration timeline was, and 7:21. Apply. Okay, this time it works. So I can see, you know, different things on my capacity and what is the availability of each and overall assignments, etc. So, you know, maybe I can start leveraging maybe a Project Server to resolve some of those conflicts that maybe I didn't see initially when I plan. When I did my planning within TFS. So in summary, in this video, we show how a team of developers, using the methodology they want, in this case Agile, can do a breakdown of a software development project, do an estimate. You can choose the granularity at which you want to pass that information back to Project Server. In this case, we did the user stories. The data is then synced to Project Server 2010. The project manager can see those estimates, in this case at the user story level, I can change the data in Project Server. I don't have to leave tools. And as the project team or the development team starts executing and progressing on this development projects, I also start getting the updates that are flowing back into Microsoft Project. So again, I got constant collaboration between those two teams using their tool of choice at the granularity they want and also using different methodologies. So this concludes the third video of a four-part video highlighting the integration between Team Foundation Server 2010 and Project Server. Thank you very much.